what we have become, we can contrast those. And when we look at Roman and Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, this is what it says. See, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Romans 5, 7 and 8. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, 12 and 19. Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. By the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Romans chapter 11, verse 32. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we have a description of what we were. And if we look into the book of Ephesians as well, it tells us that we were dead. We followed after the flesh. It tells us also that we were the objects of God's wrath, which we rightly deserved. So we can look back and see what we were and thank God for what we are today and what we are to become. So, looking on the positive side, now after God has done the work in our lives and through his grace has made us into the kind of people he wants us to be, and daily he is changing us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. So our central idea today that we want to sort of focus on is God created us with all our abilities and disabilities for his glory. We must accept ourselves and trust God's wisdom in creating us the way we are. Do we have struggles in our lives? As Jerry Bridges noted, many people struggle to accept themselves as they are, of a present condition. For them, life is just a continuous adversity, not from outside circumstances, but from who they are. The greatest need in trusting God may be to trust God for who I am. For those with this need, Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, has some very important and helpful things to say. Do you struggle with who you are? That's a personal question we can ask ourselves. Do we get frustrated? And do we blame God for the adversity he's allowing in our lives? So as we look into Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, we find out who we are, what God has made us to be. Right? He created us, and we have faults, we've got disabilities, right? Some of us are smarter than others. Some of us can excel in things better than others. Right? So let's look at Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works and my works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written. The days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So who made us? Are we the result of slime, as evolutionists will tell us, or were we created by a designer? This is the assurance that the psalmist had, and which gave him great comfort, of what of the fact that he was created by God and he was made by God. So did God just form the physical or physical being? What does man consist of? Just a body? Man consists of body, soul, and soul, spirit, as someone has said. Right? So God even created our personality. Do we need to change our personality? Can we improve on our personality? Do you think so? These are some thoughts that we can have. God made us for his glory. Are we able to praise God for who we are and what we are? Are we satisfied with the kind of people we are? So we see in the psalmist, God was intimately and personally involved in creating and forming and fashioning David. It's very interesting as to realize the physical body, how much it's worth. I covered that once some time ago. I forgot to look at the research and that and see how much we are worth in our physical being. Does anyone know that by offhand, how much we are worth physically? $1.95. I do not remember, but it was very much when we think of the elements that we are made out of. We are made out of dust, clay. So what gives us value? What gives a baby in the womb who is not yet born value? Apart from God, we don't see any value. That's why evolutionists, they live a life that is miserable, no hope. God is the one that puts value in the life because his breath is in us and he created us for a purpose. You know, I was listening yesterday to some songs by the Gaither Trio from way back in the 70s. They were one of our favorite groups. And I was listening to that song being sung by kids. I am a promise. I'm a possibility. So you see, there's potential. When God created, he created us with a potential. Why? Why does God create? Does he need us? Because being able to express his love, he has created us, and there's a potential that we will trust in him, be saved, and do what we're called upon to do, that is worship him and glorify him. Right? So we're able to praise God as David did, not because we're good looking or we got great intellect, but we can praise God because he made us. He's put value in our lives, value in us. He has not made a mistake. There's no mistake when a child is born, is there? We might think that it's a mistake, we have made a mistake, or people have made mistakes when children are born, but God makes no mistakes. He sees that child way back in the womb as a life, right at conception. Because he is infinite in his wisdom and perfect in his love, he personally made you and me. He gave you a body, mental abilities, basic personality, and he made you the way he wanted you to be. Have you ever thought of that? So when it comes to being able to accept ourselves, self-esteem and self-acceptance, we need to listen to, find out from God who we are, right? Not by asking our friends or others, who do you think I am or who am I? We look to God to find out who we are, right? So if we're struggling with certain things like certain disabilities and physical limitations, we can look to the one who has made us and find out what he wants us to be, right? Do you know what God wants you to be? Generally, what does God want you to be? Are you not sure? We're created for His honor and for His glory. So we are created to do His will, right? So when we think of the fact of who God is, that determines quite a lot of what we think of who we are, who made us. When we think of God is in all His attributes, right? He's wise. He never makes a mistake, right? We think of His omniscience, His sovereignty. He's all-powerful. We see in that Psalm 139, what He can do, right? So we can continually trust God for who we are, whether we be an engineer, missionary, homemaker, nurse. That does not really determine who you are, does it? The situations that we are in, do we try to improve those situations? Can we improve on what God has done and what God is doing? Can we improve on our physical looks and so on? Is there a right time to do that? Can that be correct? Can that be right or can it be wrong to try to improve ourselves, what we look like physically? Can that be wrong or can it be right? What do you think? It can be both, right? Okay. Okay, this is what Jerry Bridges says. I'll have to quote it here. The realization that God has planned our days for us should not lead us to a fatalistic acceptance of the status quo. If we have an opportunity to improve our situation in a way that will honor God, we should do so. There has to be in our lives a delicate balance between godly efforts to improve our situation and godly acceptance of those situations that cannot be changed by us. So the things, whatever we're doing is honoring God, then it's okay. If it does not honor God, right? If we have an attitude of saying, well, God, why did you make me this way? I want to change this. I want to change that. That will be a wrong attitude, right? Okay, God is not only sovereign, as we've been learning, but we see that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to make decisions, wise decisions, or to discover the will of God. So anything that we want to do to improve ourselves or change ourselves, we need to find out, is this the will of God for me? Why am I doing it? Am I doing it to please people or am I doing it to bring honor and glory to God? So who I am and who I become is determined by, not just by the will of God, but it's also determined by, to some extent, well, God is sovereign, right? But decisions we make must be according to His divine will. Because God's plan is sovereign, it helps us when we make foolish decisions, does it not? If God just leaves it up to us to make decisions, we'll be in a very sad state. But because of God's sovereignty, He uses all those silly decisions and mistakes that we make even to fulfill His purpose and His plan in our lives. Does God lead us, or do we have God pushing us ahead of Him? Does God lead us? That's where it is in the Christian life. God leads us, and we're to be following Him, right? And His leading is step by step. Do you know what's going to happen in the next 5 years in your life? Do you know what's going to happen a week from now? So this is where God leads us, and we are to walk by faith. So God leads us step by step. Does God guide our minds as we think? How does God guide our minds? What determines what we think and how we think? What you put into your mind is what you get out, right? Okay. So how can we think the way that God thinks and Jesus Christ thinks? By feeding upon the Word and thinking upon what the Word says, right? We are told that we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? Question of, but another way is, do you know how Christ thinks, how Jesus Christ thinks? Do you know? How can you and I know what Christ, Jesus Christ thinks? We've got it right here in the Word. The mind of Christ is expressed and revealed in His Word. So we need not be in ignorance as to how Jesus Christ thinks. And we're told we have the mind of Christ. So we have to make it ours, our own, by being in the Word and depending upon the Word, right? So we want to look at some verses here to find out how we can continually develop a trust in what God says about who we are and what He wants us to become. Let's look at Job chapter 10, verses 8 to 11. So in our need to trust God so that He will guide us and continually remind ourselves who we are and what God is making us become, we need to be in the Word. Job chapter 10, verses 8 to 11. Will someone read those verses for us, please? What truth is being taught in this verse? What do we learn about God and what He's doing in these verses? God made us. He fashioned us. He made us come all together. He can return us to the dust. What attribute of God does that tell us there? What's the fact? To make us from dust. Have you heard of any scientists doing that in a test tube yet? Or I bet you better not say yet. It shows the power of God to create. Right? And He's in total control. From dust He has brought us, and from dust He can return us. It also says we'll be clothed with skin and flesh. Can you understand how God can make skin and flesh and bones and all the organs of the human body out of dust, dirt? Oh, it probably happened by chance, did it? That shows the folly and foolishness of men to reject what God has revealed to us, does it not? Psalm 119, verse 73. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. So it tells what God has done here. So the psalmist is asking God to give him understanding that he may learn His commandments. To learn what God requires. Because man needs understanding, does he not? He does not know everything. So understanding who we are, we need to ask God to show us who we are. Continually be thinking of the fact that I am dust. God made me. He's in control. Right? Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 say, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. So what is God, what truth is being taught in these verses? What is being taught in these verses? So what is it? Okay, what is it expressing here? Is there life in the womb? Is there life right in the womb here? Is God involved intimately in the conception and birth of every child, or is it happening by chance? Every single human being, God is involved in that life. So how did the psalmist respond here, realizing the greatness and the power of God, his omnipotence, as it were? How did he respond? In thankfulness, I will give thanks. So when you look at yourself and you think you've got, well, this disability and that disability, how should you respond? According to what he says, I'm fearfully, you form my inward parts. Are you special? Do you think? Are you unique? Are you happy and satisfied with who you are and what you are, what God has made you to be, when you realize that God is intimately involved? It didn't happen by chance. So if we tend to have struggles as to who we are and what we are, we need to realize that we need to look to God and give him thanks that he has created you and he's made you the way you are. So, do you ever struggle with accepting the way God made you? That's the first little question. Do you ever struggle with the way God made you? Was there ever a time in your life when you really struggled and caused you this depression because of what you're experiencing? There's some of us that have very good health. Some of us struggle with health issues. Right, at that, sometimes when we struggle with health issues, we tend to not accept ourselves and the adversity God allows in our life. Remember, each one of us is unique. So what causes us sometimes to struggle in not accepting ourselves the way we are? The very common thing we do is we compare ourselves with others. We look at others, and we think, well, I wish I could ski as well as that person. I wish I had this nice straight hair like that person does. And we tend to we compare ourselves with others. Do we not do that sometimes? But didn't God make you to be you? He didn't make you to be like Johnny or Jane, did he? So these struggles are real, and we have to know how to deal with those struggles when they come in our lives. So does the Bible tell us we shouldn't compare ourselves with others? Does it? I try to find some verses to really come out and say, do not compare yourself with one another. We are to learn from one another. We take examples from one another, do we not? What did Paul say? Follow me. So that we follow good examples, do we not? But we do not want to be exactly like that person because we are special, we are unique. God made us with our personality, makes us with everything that we have the way we are. And we need to be giving him thanks for it. Because is he being glorified through what he's given us? That he's given us things so that we can, whatever he allows in our lives and permits, is to help us grow into becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. So what is your attitude about your physical appearance right now? What is it? For us older people, what is it? About our physical appearance and the way we feel and so on. What is it? Do we struggle sometimes with that? Okay, now just not looking at the physical and the exterior, but what is your attitude about your personality and inner character? Are you getting better? Is your personality becoming more acceptable in a sense? How can you change your personality? All these questions we can ask ourselves. Right? Or do we just excuse it and say, well, that's the way God made me. I'm very impatient. That's the way I am. Do we need to change? Do we need to improve in our personality? We do, don't we? So God is going to give us wisdom, and the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to enable us to be like that, to become what we should be, right? Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. So if we are lacking in any of those areas, God has promised that He will change us. He loves us and makes us the way we are, but He's not going to leave us the way we are, is He? He's going to change us to become the people He wants us to be, right? So we need to always ask ourselves, is our attitude pleasing to God? If it is not, how could you change your attitude? Let's think of all the ways, right? We read in Philippians, He who began a good work in you will complete it, right? So what does it tell us about everyone sitting in here today? Have we arrived yet to becoming what God wants us to be? No? We have not yet arrived, so we are in process. Right? So what does that mean if we are in process? As we fellowship with one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're not yet what we are to be, what does it tell us when we fellowship with others? We realize we're in process. We need to be patient with one another. We need to do all that's necessary to help each other, to encourage each other, to edify, exhort. Do we always do that, or do we become impatient? Well, say, well, that person has not been growing very well. So what's the matter with you? And we can become impatient and be judgmental, can we not? So we need to realize that God is working in our lives to make us what He wants us to be. So when we think we have shortcomings and lacking certain things, does the Bible give us examples of people who had shortcomings? Let's look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. The Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? So God makes us with certain abilities and certain disabilities. God takes responsibility for those shortcomings in our lives. And the things that He wants to change, He will change them in our lives, right? And the things that He does not change, He's going to use them to build us up, to strengthen us. Okay, let's look at another verse. John chapter 9, verses 1-3. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So what do we learn from that? Why does God make certain people with certain disabilities? Why? For His glory. God can be glorified through that. God can be glorified through illness when we're going through these illnesses and so on. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Would someone read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7?
For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?
That's right. How can these verses help us keep our good qualities in the proper perspective? Remember the first verse. For who regards you as superior? Here's the idea of comparing yourself with someone else, is it not? Whatever qualities and gifts and abilities we have, where did it come from? Can we boast concerning that? No, we can't. Do we compare ourselves as superior to one another? Do we tend to do that sometimes? Let's look at Job chapter 14, verse 5. Job chapter 14, verse 5. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, and his limits you have set so that he cannot pass. What truths are being taught in this verse? What does it tell us about who we are and what God is doing? What does it tell us about ourselves and what does it tell us about God?
Lives are finite.
So God is the one who determines how long we live, to some extent, what kind of life we live. Right? So we are who we are to some extent when we are believers in Jesus Christ. What who we are and what we are and what we do is to some extent determined by the limits that God sets, right? Psalm 31, verse 15 says, "My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me." So whether we live or how long we live is determined by God. Whether we are attacked by enemies and destroyed is determined by God, because God is one. He protects us. He provides for us. So our lives and our length of life is determined by God. They're in His hand. So who we are is determined by what God wills. Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written. The days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. So does that bring us comfort, or does that cause us to struggle with the fact that, well, I want to live longer. My days seem to be getting shorter. I'm getting feeble. I'm getting older. It should bring comfort. So the attitude we should have is, how long do we want to live? Do we want to live longer, or what determines how long you and I want to live? Each of our lives personally. How long do you want to live? Well, how long would you like to live? I have a simple answer for it for myself personally. I want to live as long as God wants me to live. That's how I'll answer that, right? And that way, I don't have to say, well, I want to wait and see my grandchildren grow up and get married and all and so on. I just want to live as long as God wants me to live, and it's out of my hands, right? So other people have different ways of thinking of that, right? So because God is going to determine when you die, is He not? So that's how I sort of rationalize that answer. So that means to say, if you make that statement, then are you ready to die tomorrow? So it makes you have to make sure then that you have things in order, right? If you're owing this person this stuff or that, yeah, they better get it done, because if you can die any time, right? So it brings comfort in knowing that for the Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord as well. We don't have to worry, like when you think sometimes you see situations where parents are taken away from young children and so on, and you probably think, well, does God really care? Who's going to look after these children and so on? But God cares. God is going to look after them, is He not? We can have the confidence of the fact that whatever God permits to happen, He's going to take care of it. He's in control. Right? So we may try to want to escape life because life seems overwhelming, and the great adversity in our lives God is permitting, we want to escape those things. But that could be a cop-out in the sense that God permits things in our lives that He gives us the ability and He gives us the resources we need to cope with them. Does He not? He does. That's where we learn the sovereignty of God, right? And last week we looked at the fact that God loves us. Whatever He permits to happen in our lives is for our good. It doesn't always seem that way, right? So that comes to the question of being able to trust God for who we are and realizing that there are certain things that that we can change, that he permits us to change. He helps us make decisions by guiding us into doing those things that would glorify him. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Do you know what God's plan is for your life? Okay, you work till 55 and you retire. Do you know what God's purpose and plan are for your life right now?
To grow into the image of Christ.
That's what we're to be preoccupied with. And everything else comes after that, right? So that's what God's purpose in life, making us more like Jesus Christ. So as we do a self-evaluation, it will help us to see how close to that goal we're getting, does it not? Okay, so if we're in bondage in certain things, there are certain things that we can change, or God allows us to change, right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 21. Some advice that Paul gave to fellow Christians. We find ourselves in certain situations in life that we probably would like to escape, right? Maybe a boring job that you're in. You have people that are causing you a lot of grief and sorrow and so on. You're in a situation where you feel like you're in bondage. 1 Corinthians 7:21. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you are able also to become free, rather do that. So if you're in a situation, here the example is given of a slave. The question is whether the slave is a voluntary slave or not. The slave most likely here is not voluntary. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you are able also to become free, rather do that. So if there are situations in our lives that God gives us wisdom and so on to escape from certain bondages, we are to do that. If he seeks to keep us in the situation we are in, we are to not worry or fret about it. He'll give us the grace to live through it. Would he not? So who are we? Who are you? What are you becoming? You are one who is being led, right? Led by God. So the question is, are you obediently following the one who is leading you? Psalm 23 tells us a lot about what God does for us. Right? Who we are is determined to some extent also by what God does for us. Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So we are ones who are being led by God. He's one who, if he is leading us, that denotes his presence with us. He leads us, he provides for us green pastures, quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the sheep following the shepherd will be protected, will be provided for, will be secure. What do sheep tend to do? Sheep tend to go astray, don't they? And we're sometimes like that. Today, are you aware and conscious of God's guidance in your life as a sheep? Or are you falling far away from the shepherd? Are you one who is following the shepherd? Can you look back in the past and see for sure this is what God was guiding me and leading me here? And I'm conscious and I'm sure about that. Can you look back in your life and see occasions when you know for sure he was guiding you and leading you? How do you know when you've made right decisions? Do you always know any decision that you've made was the right decision before it was actually made, that you're making the right decision? Do you always know that? What determines decision? What determines how you make decisions or what decisions you make? You're making the decision of who to marry, or making the decision of a career, or where to go on vacation. So, what determines how we make those decisions? Okay. So, how should we make decisions? Any decision we make, what should determine how we make decisions?
Pray about it,
right? Seek the counsel of godly people as well, right? Do we not? So one thing is that we'd be guided by what the Bible tells us, any decision we're making, right? We've got a lot of guidelines there to make decisions. You can seek godly counsel, people who are godly, to help us, right? And also circumstances, right? Circumstances can determine how we make decisions as well. So, and the fact is that God has promised that he will lead us and he will guide us, does he not? So we seek his wisdom. Right? So one important thing is circumstances as well, right? And God has given us a sense where, as some people say, a sort of a gut feeling. But so those are the three areas. So the question comes up, are we trusting God to make us who he wants us to be? Right? So first we find out, who does God want us to be? We already mentioned, it was mentioned, so that we are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Okay, and one danger as well of the fact of seeking to find out who God wants us to be is just thinking about ourselves, right? Does it matter to you what God wants you to be in relation to other people? Is God just concerned of making you you? Or does he make you in relation to other people as well? Right? What you and I become and what we are, to some extent, determines how we relate to other people as well, does it not? There's a saying, no man is an island. So God is making you and I to be the kind of people he wants us to be because we're in fellowship with one another, right? Each person is given abilities and disabilities, right? What the abilities and the disabilities he is glorified through them. Why does he give each Christian the those different abilities and disabilities and those gifts? Why? So they can be function in the local church and function in a fellowship. He doesn't give them to us for ourselves. He gives them to us to use on behalf of others. To serve others, not serve ourselves. Do you think of any gift God has given you to serve yourself? Can you name one? All the gifts that are listed, what are they given for? To serve others. Right, so, and to glorify him. I've got a few things that I've here that, listening to some words, I find that they've got some good theology in a sense. From what we've covered so far and the fact that of God's sovereignty and the fact of God loves us and he does whatever is best for us, we can trust God for all these things that he has done, who is making us to be. And this is a song that was written by the Gaither group. And ask yourself, have you ever thought of it when you think of what abilities you have, what disabilities you have, to realize the fact God created you the way you are? So you can sing the song to yourself. You can sing, I am loved. Have you ever thought of that? I am loved. I can risk loving you. Love is always in community. It's never by yourself. You're just not loving yourself. Why? I am loved. I am loved. I can risk loving you. For the one who knows me best loves me most. I am loved. You are loved. Won't you please take my hand. We are free to love each other. We are loved. We are not in bondage to our selfish desires and so on. We are free because we've been set free from self-love and always just be concerned of ourselves. We are free to love each other because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, right? Okay, there's another one I had here. I'm something special. I'm only one of a kind. God gave me a body and a healthy mind. He had a special purpose which he wanted me to find. Right? So God loves us and he has a special purpose. Also, at the beginning we said, I am a promise, I'm a possibility. God made us for the purpose and the plan so we can love him and trust him for who we are and what we are becoming, because he is doing a work in us. We're in process. And when we think that we're not valuable in God's sight because he has made us valued, when the world out there puts us down and tries to say things that can possibly hurt us or bring us heartache and depression, we can look into the Bible and find out what the Bible says concerning who you are. Why are you who you are? Not only by creation, but new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So you can look into the Bible and you see, find out who you are. It doesn't matter what your neighbor thinks or what your enemy thinks about you. What matters is what God says about you. Right? So outside there, I've got some handouts telling you exactly what the Bible says who we are. Who we are in Christ. So we looked in the past who we were. Is there anyone here who have not yet come to that place in their lives where they have confessed their sins, they have repented, and they've become a new creation in Christ? So, God is not willing that any should perish. He has a purpose and he has a plan. He wants to save those who are lost. So, who are you? Can you trust God for who you are? Of course we can. When we look and see what God is doing and what he's done in the past, right? So, we are who God wants us to be. We are to become what God wants us to become. So, we can trust him to continue to do that work that he has begun. Let's close now in prayer. God, our Father, we come before you and we realize that we're finite. Many of us, our Father, have certain limitations. Some of us, you've given different gifts. You've given all of us different gifts. And we thank you that we are put into a body where we can serve you, we can glorify you. We thank you that we are to glorify you through our limitations as well. We thank you, our Father, that you've provided a fellowship of believers here, and you've given those gifts. We thank you for for those who minister and preach and teach your word. We thank you for those who work in the Sunday school. Oh, Father, we thank you that you've given us abilities that we can study your word and we can share your word with others as well. And we thank you for the comfort we get from your word, which you have given us, and that we can feed upon it, and it expresses and it reveals to us the mind of Christ, exactly how Christ thinks. And we have that mind, and your Holy Spirit is working in us today. We commit this day to you now, and we pray that as we go into the next service, that your Holy Spirit, oh Father, will minister your word to us through James, as we look now to you in anticipation of what you will teach us. And thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit who enables us to do the work that you've called us to do. Thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.